Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 13 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as David Price and myself, Ian Levitsky, discuss whatever comes to mind time after time here on Comic Timing. Well, Wizard World Chicago has come and gone, and we're here to wrap it up for you. And to do so, we're joined by Sal and Chris from the Around Comics podcast for our fourth podcast crossover, if you count the comics podcast crossover. Apparently, we get around. Here now, Comic Timing. Well, it's lucky episode 13 of Comic Timing. Hi, everyone. My name is Ian Levinstein, alongside my usual partner, the Man of a Thousand Podcasts. He is David Price.
Hello.
Hello, hello. And we are joined by two folks who are crossing over from one podcast to another here. And that, of course, is the Around Comics podcast. And we are joined, first of all, by Sal himself, Brian Salazar. What's going on, Sal?
My life is one long podcast.
We all know how you feel, my friend. We all know how you feel.
Thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. Glad to have you. And also joining us is Christopher Niesman of the Around Comics podcast. Chris, what's going on?
You never do episode 13, man. Podcasts are like skyscrapers. You got to skip that one.
Well, we already skipped an episode because my hard drive ate it. So I figure that episode 13 will hopefully be a bit more lucky than your magic missing episode 13.
Hey, we skipped that one on purpose.
See, that's the best episode ever. In my head, I keep playing that one over and over again.
Oh, that one will come out eventually, but that'll be a surprise. But thank you for having us on the show. It's great to talk to you guys.
Good to talk to you as well. And, well, one of the main reasons why that you two folks are on is because this past weekend there was a big comic gathering, as it were, and that, of course, is Wizard World Chicago. And our New York guy, David Price, made his way out to Chi-Town for the convention. And, well, first of all, David, what do you think of Chicago?
I didn't see any. What I saw of Chicago was Chris's apartment, Starbucks, and a kick-ass, I don't know if I call it a restaurant, but they had a really good burger. What was it called? The Daily, Chris?
The Daily Bar and Grill on Lincoln Avenue.
Very, very good place. So I didn't, because of travel woes, I didn't get to see much of Chicago proper. So, and the convention is actually outside of Chicago in Rosemont. So
I gotcha.
What I saw of Illinois was really nice and pretty.
Yeah, you never even saw the Sears Tower.
I did not. So I have to go back just to get the sightseeing out of the way.
And we saw some homeless people on the train. You know, ooh, that was cool.
See, I didn't know they were homeless people because they looked a lot cleaner than those that I've seen in New York.
We have higher class homeless people here in Illinois.
You really do?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, see, yeah, see, now actually that's why I want to go to Chicago now, you know, to see the higher class poor people, just to sort of see exactly what's going on there and compare them to ours, I guess. Well, did they have their shopping carts with them? Because that's the main thing here in Brooklyn, you know.
Oh, no, man, they have roller bags. They're
oh,
very nice.
Nice.
Yeah,
very
with sequins.
Nice.
They
yeah,
are
yeah,
upscale.
Very stylish.
Fast and efficient. There you go. Now, first of all, David, just how messy is Chris's apartment? Okay, I kid.
So the apartment was great. It's a lot cleaner than any place I've ever lived, that's for sure.
My girlfriend made me clean. Marta made sure I cleaned before everyone came over, so.
See, I would invite people over for New York Comic Con, but they'd literally be living in my closet. So that would probably be a bad thing because I have like the smallest room in the history of man, and that would probably be a bit difficult. But I'm glad to see that you had enough room to sort of fit some people in and join them and all that. So
yeah. Yes.
Now let's get to Sal first, actually, since I know that Sal's got some about eight other podcasts that he's currently editing at this time. So first of all, Sal, your immediate reaction to Wizard World Chicago?
You know, the first day, I think it felt a bit smaller than previous years. There weren't the huge names there. I think this year, I mean, there were a few, but in previous years, it seemed like the guest list was a bit more robust. But, you know, I think it wasn't a bad thing, necessarily, for someone like me and Chris and you know, the other guys we were with. It gave us actually more of a chance to concentrate on Artist Alley and more of the independent guys and not worry about, you know, who's signing at the Marvel booth at 2:00, you know. And in a lot of ways, I think it was kind of a good thing.
So you'd say it was more indie-centered or just more creator-centered? Or?
Well, I don't think it was specifically set out to be that way. I just, for us, it ended up kind of being that way because there weren't necessarily the huge draws that maybe you see there in other years. So we
last year was like Jim Lee, Frank Miller, Ed Brubaker, and Brian Michael Bendis. Those guys weren't there this year.
Okay. So actually, in fact, now that I think about that, actually sounds like the guest list at New York this past year. So right away, I got to ask this question, and Chris, you might be able to answer it for me here. I mean, do you feel that the influx of, you know, new conventions and all that might be one of the reasons why, you know, some of the bigger names might have skipped Chicago this year, that they just have too many on their plate?
I think that the guest list was, and get this clear, I mean, it was a great con, and the guest list was fantastic. It just, you didn't have, you know, the Wizard top 10 creators to the extent that we did last year. And in comparison, I think as many cons as there are now, that they spread out a little bit more. And kind of what I'm starting to feel is that a lot of the creators that are kind of expected to be, you know, the big names and be at a lot of cons, I think those guys may have taken this year off, and they may be back next year. And so I think that you may see some of those guys will alternate, you know, from year to year from different cons.
And also I think you had San Diego was only 2 weeks prior to this. And a lot of time, you know, I mean, that's pretty tough to do. I mean, we talked to a lot of guys that made both, and it was pretty grueling to do that. So I think that may have played into some of it.
Poor Ivan Brandon hasn't been home since like mid-July.
Wow. And well, right away, I think Ed Brubaker's got to come back to Chicago eventually. So, you know, Sal, he can see exactly what you look like now, so he can put you into another comic. So.
they've
met.
Yeah, we've met. Ed and I are familiar. So that's an interesting thing. We're actually going to talk to Ed coming up soon here on our show. So.
Oh, excellent. I'll make sure to download that.
I'll be able to thank him for that.
Now, how did it feel? Well, this was your first real, I guess, convention where folks knew you as podcasters, along as, you know, just other comic book fans. And well, David, you could probably, you know, chime in on this also. I mean, what did it feel? I mean, how many people did you come up to you know, saying like, "Wow, I enjoy your podcast," as opposed to, you know, just random people, you know, meeting you on a line and just striking up a conversation?
For me personally, I other than the guys I knew were going there, I really didn't run into anyone who recognized me or recognized my voice. But that was me personally. I know Chris and a few other people associated.
Mark Beatty,
he had some coming up to the Dark Tower booth and recognizing his voice. But me personally, I didn't have really anybody that knew me, so it wasn't really much different.
Yeah, I mean, a few people here and there, and, you know, familiar names from the forums and whatnot. And, you know, I had one guy who I was talking to, Week Rocker, who posts on our forum. And I'm sitting there, I'm bullcrapping with him. And he just kind of looks at me. I was like, "What's up?" And he's just like, "It's just so weird to, like, hear your voice and stand here, you know, talking to you." I'm like, "Okay, that's bizarre." So, you know, it's just like, can I get you a beer? It's okay, man. So, but, you know, it's...
I know Tom at one point was standing in line for something, and all of a sudden somebody yells out, "Tom!" And he turns around with, like, sort of an angry look on his face, because that's just Tom. And the guy looks at him, you know, and he's like, "Oh, I love your show," you know. So Tom had to then play nice with him, but I looked at the guy like I was going to stab him before he knew who he was and that, so.
Well, he was getting himself ready in that mindset for Lollapalooza.
I guess so.
Well, Tom was like, "Wait a minute, you're not a monkey. Who cares?"
It was cool, and there were so many podcasters at this convention. You know, I listened to Crankcast today, which is Mike Norton and Chris Crank, and Mike had talked about it. I mean, it really almost was like a podcasters conference for a lot of the time, because we all kind of hung out with each other, and it was really cool. I mean, it was, you know, the same thing for me. I hooked up with Sean Whelan from Raging Bullets, and you know, putting a face to that voice was really, really kind of bizarre for me. So, you know, we're in no way celebrities, you know, at all. But,
well, sure,
you know, just that there are a few people out there that, you know our voice and your guys' voice from listening to the show is pretty cool. So, yeah, it was interesting.
Next year I'm wearing a big sandwich board that says, "I'm on a round of comics."
Give me a hug. David, how about you? I mean, you are the man of 1,000 podcasts.
No, I was very incognito. I was low-key. I basically, except for when maybe Chris ran out to do an interview or meet with somebody, I was pretty much, though Renee wanted me to be attached to his hip, but whenever he had to disappear, I was hanging close by next to either Vince B, or Dan, who goes by Papercut on the Around Comics forum and who's posted on the Comic Timing forum. I basically was just there as a comic book fan. I was just taking it all in that way, and I was just hanging out with a bunch of great people. You know, as far as podcasts, it was great to see Sean. It was great to see Peter and Brian and Kevin again from CGS. You know, to Neil Gorman was there, and actually we recorded with him on Saturday night, so it was nice to meet the pretty much the guy who's been doing this about the second longest with Comicology, and of course Mike, and it was just it was just a fun, I was just there basically to have fun. I didn't push myself as, you know, this is what I do or this is who I am. I just introduced myself as I'm a fan of your work, and you know, and if I've extended as far as emails, and I've posted on other artists' blogs and reminding them where we met, but to see if anything comes out of that. But for the most part, on this past weekend, I was just there as a fan.
Well, see, that's the thing, because next year, you know, once we have the Comic Timing shirts up and all that.
Oh, yes, we'll be a sponsor of the show.
Oh, yeah, exactly, right. And then everybody will start coming up to you, and, you know, I'll make sure to have your face on one of the shirts, the Man of a Thousand podcast.
Yeah, that's what people want to see.
Oh, exactly, yeah, that they want to see as much David Price as possible. You're damn right.
My wife doesn't even want to see as much as David Price as possible. I don't think anybody else wants to.
I can say I saw more of David Price than I really wanted to.
You're not supposed to say anything.
Okay, so yeah. That's something for off the air right there.
I was going to say John Suntress is another guy that was there. And
yes,
John,
thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
John is just an absolutely fantastic guy.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, from Word Balloon, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, that. See, it took me a minute to connect it in my head, but yeah, there you go. Well, also, one thing from what I've seen from the post so far, from our episode 11, when we happened to interview Jenny Breeden.
Who I met. I met her, and she's great.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. I mean, from what I've seen here, I'm actually going to read two posts right off the hand from our episode 11 thread. First of all, first from LT Smash on the forums. I met Jenny at Wizard World Chicago, and she was super nice. They had her tucked in a far corner, but it looked like she was getting good traffic when I dropped by. Picked up Devil's Panties Volume 1 and Con Artist Number 1, as well as a sketch. Many thanks to Comic Timing. And then right underneath that, Darth Kramer had a post. I saw Jenny Breeden as well and told her that I heard her on Comic Timing. She said that she'd been hearing that a lot, and if she had known how many people actually listened, she would have been more discreet with stories about other people. So that actually leads me to the question. I mean, how many creators, did you go up to any creators who then, you know, said, you know, hey, thanks for the, you know, the plug, or thanks for such and such, because I've been hearing from my fans that I heard you on, you know, insert podcast here, and you know, it's helped my business at the con.
Ape Entertainment, Steve Bryant definitely made it known that a lot. It's what I want to think he even gave a number, like maybe 80%, or maybe that was Mike Oliveri with Moonstone. But,
Mike Oliveri, yeah, okay. Werewolves Call of the Wild.
So Moonstone and Abe both had a decent turnout due to mentions on a podcast. I don't think I brought it up with Cullen Bunn or Brian Hurt, but I wouldn't be surprised if people were stopping by their table to not buy the book that wasn't there.
Yeah, they just need to have a book to sell. Oh, I'm so ready for that damn thing.
So am I. But no, there were a few, and actually, in Moonstone and Ape weren't even on the weren't even in Artist Alley. They had small press booths on the convention show floor proper. So those are two off the top of my head that I can think of.
Okay. Well, Sal had, and can probably tell this story. Whenever we were talking to Ivan Brandon on what was that Friday night?
Yeah, Ivan had said when he was in San Diego, he had you know, he was shocked by the amount of people that came up to him and said, you know, I heard John on, you know, such and such podcast, and I think a lot of times it's, you know, because a lot of these guys do the same shows, you know, whether it's CGS or us or Comic Time, you know, whoever it is. But, and I think to a lot of these creators, it's sort of just like podcast, you know what I mean? They're not necessarily remembering whose show they're doing or what.
Yeah,
no, it's just like Entertainment Tonight or Access. You know, they say the same thing over and over again.
Exactly.
And,
but I think they are getting a much greater appreciation for podcasts, because I think in the last, you know, few months with all the at the cons, they're getting a lot of response from being on these shows, and we heard that over and over again, whether it was from Chris Staros over at Top Shelf, who said, you know, he was blown away. He was on, you know, a podcast, and he was blown away by the amount of emails and messages he got after that. Or, you know, or Ivan talking about, you know, how many people came up to him after the show. Or Pat Loika and Dave Walker talking about, you know, how great their show was, and mostly it was because from, you know, from the podcast and stuff. So I think in general, you know, podcasting are starting to become, you know, a small force in the media of comic books.
It's turning into a really good promotion tool for creators, and I think especially, you know, from our standpoint, for creator-owned works is what we're pretty passionate about, and a lot of those guys are really seeing that as, number one, a free promotion tool, and one that that you can reach a lot of people with that are very, very targeted, and you can't ask for, you know, more than that.
Definitely, without a doubt. And you know what, honestly, I'm glad to see that if we can help out in any way, shape, or form with, you know, the small fries with the guys who might not get nearly as much press as other folks do, then right away I'm a happy guy, because, you know, they deserve as much business as possible. And if any of us whatsoever are affecting that, then that's, you know, that's a positive for us, and it's a positive for them in my book, for sure, definitely, without a doubt. And right off the bat, actually, I'm going to mention this. It once again, since David mentioned it a little while back, and actually, I actually just ordered myself a copy of his latest issue of Scar Tissue. I mean, Citizens Day on the Forums. Scar Tissue, if you're not picking it up, pick it up. I got to make that plug again, because I saw Dave's most recent sketches that he was showing off before he...
Just talking about that.
And I actually bought the issue because of those sketches, because I was itching to see more Dave art. And, I mean, it's an amazing book, let alone that, but, you know, it was...
Oh, but he's growing by leaps and bounds. I mean,
without a doubt.
Every new page that he puts out is just from issue one to now, is just been an amazing metamorphosis.
Yeah, I mean,
he's overrated.
I've seen Dave's work pretty much since he started on Scar Tissue, before I really even knew him. But I knew of Ronin Studios, and I knew of Scar Tissue, and then I got to meet Dave in that. And yeah, I've said it in the last week. I've said it to Chris, or, you know, David, or whoever, probably a dozen times, that his stuff has just blown me away. That especially the sketches that he was doing at Wizard World were as good as just about anything out there that week, and I just was blown away by how good he has become.
Our little Dave is growing up.
Yes, aww, he is. He's going to forget all about us one day. And I was telling Vince, too, that some of the art in Artist Alley, the detail, the amount of work, like, I kicking myself for forgetting who the penciler was, but Bernie Gonzalez with Studio X. Is it Studio X, or it is Studio X, right?
Now you're going to kill me.
I believe it is.
Okay, because I'm thinking of the word elemental in there somewhere, but the penciler who was working with him to get their project out that they put out in front of the judges in San Diego. The work,
Element X.
Thank you. Okay, all right. The work that they put into those penciled pages was phenomenal, and then you go and you flip through, you know, and like the latest issue of, you know, a mutant book or just, you know, any mainstream superhero book, and you look at that, and then you go back and think about Element X, and you're like, why isn't this person working for one of the big two? And
yeah,
it's just nice to see the amount of work they're putting out there. You just know great things are going to happen for these guys, and it's nice seeing them like this, because, you know, you'll be able to say, well, I remember when, or I got a sketch from this person before they, you know, became Mr. Big Shot. So I just love looking at the art just walking up and down the aisles there in Artist Alley.
I tell you what, Artist Alley was, Sal, would you say we spent more time in Artist Alley than any other part of the con?
Well, other than waiting for Joe Quesada to blow us off. But
twice.
That, yeah, we certainly spent the majority of our time in Artist Alley. And I usually do anyway. I mean, that's where I enjoy being, because David was saying, it's like you know you can get these sketches and work done from these guys that nobody's heard of yet, but, you know, you can just see them, you know, a couple of years from now being, you know, a huge name or working for Marvel or DC or somebody, you know.
I don't know, I think it was kind of cool to walk up to Jeff Darrow.
Well, yeah, but there is that other thing. I mean, you look at who was in that Artist Alley.
Oh yeah, those first couple aisles.
It was, you know, Don Kramer you know, Jeff Darlow,
Phil Hester,
Andy Barth, Peter David, Greg Land. I mean, these aren't, you know, nobodies. These are guys with, and they're sitting there, you know, doing sketches or talking. I mean, Peter David, at one point I walked up to his table and he was talking to some fan about helping him. He was sort of helping him with a story he was working on and giving him ideas on how he could fix it. And it's just, you can't really get that anywhere else, that sort of communication with these guys.
You're making me itch, you know, the minute that I get a steady job to head on out to Chicago and go to the con, because
well, back corner of, or actually I guess the front back corner of Artist Alley, I just kind of kept gravitating over there because I love what Image is doing right now. And that corner was it started off, it was Ivan Brandon and Andy McDonald from NYC Mech and 24/7, and then I think the next guy over, was it Mark Sable? Is that his name? And Paul Azaceta from Grounded, and Paul's working on Talent. And then the next guy over was Tony Moore, Tony is freaking amazing. His sketches this weekend,
they're not even sketches. You got to bring your checkbook, but they are not even close to sketches.
Yeah. Wow. It was like $75, but they were commissions. I mean, they were amazing. And then, you know, then it was Jeremy Hahn and Jason Latour and B. Clay Moore and then Mike Norton. I'm just like, I just kind of like kept walking, you know, back and forth and just watching what these guys were doing. I mean, the talent in like those like six tables, I was just starstruck.
Yeah, and I was so happy the minute that I heard that Mike Norton's going to be doing Runaways for a little bit. I jumped for joy because I absolutely love Mike's art, and you know, he's
so happy to be doing
that.
He is so happy to be on that title.
Mike is going to blow up this year. Mike Norton is, you know, first of all, besides being just an amazing guy, his work is so good, and now Marvel is putting him on some pretty darn good titles. And Mike is going to be a name that just about every comic book fan knows by next year.
I certainly hope so. And Mike, if you're listening, watch out. We're going to have you on soon, hopefully. So, what was the general consensus on the crowd itself? I mean, were there a lot of couples there? Were there a lot of singles? I mean, what was the age range, that sort of thing, for the convention?
I saw more like 20-something-year-old couples.
There were a lot of couples, yeah.
A lot of young guys and girls and also a lot of kids, a lot of like moms or dads with their kids, more so than I recall seeing in the past.
And nobody was annoyed. Nobody was walking around going, oh, God, we got to go to this table. Or, I mean, everybody, significant other was with their spouse or what have you, or the kid. Nobody was dragging their feet. Nobody was pouting. Everybody seemed to be happy to be there.
That's great.
Yeah, it was a very good-spirited con. I mean, you go to those things to have a good time. You know, I only saw, like, one guy, which, you know, my big annoyance at cons are the guys that walk up with the huge roller bags and then pull out, like, you know, 80 copies of comics to have signed. And I only saw that, like, one time. And, you know, it's like, okay, this guy is definitely an eBayer, but I saw it once in 4 days. And so, that's not bad.
You're describing heaven for me right there, because that was one of the things that I had to put up with a lot at New York Comic Con. Just be standing there on the line, and you know, you'd see the guy with the giant stack of comics, and you know that he's going to be signing about, you know, like 30.
I want you to sign your complete run, and the aisles were pretty wide. I don't recall, except maybe where some of the dealers were located with their quarter boxes or things like that, having to, you know, get down on the floor to dig through the stuff. You know, I could see somebody maybe tripping or bumping into you there, but in Artist Alley, the aisles couldn't have been wider.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll agree. That did seem to give you a little bit more room there, and it was, I say, you know, the funny, looking back at it now, it's like I don't remember ever seeing, like, the prototypical comic book nerd. Or, you know what I mean? Like, not that I'm not a nerd or a geek.
The comic book guy from The Simpsons. Yeah, right. I didn't see that.
There was the wrong color hair in issue number 7.
The crowd was so much more diverse, and it just, like you said, it was just a real good feeling, and everybody was glad to be there, and I think enthusiastic about comics, which I think it's been a few years before, you know, since we've seen that. As a, you know, in mass, just sort of everyone enjoying comic books.
And, you know, actually, now that I think about it, that prototypical, you know, comic book fanboy, as it were, is sort of existing less and less these days from what I've seen. You know, I mean, like, I mean, sure, you get one or two of them every now and then at a panel especially. But, I mean, walking around recent conventions that I've been to, I've been seeing less and less of the, you know, the guys who need a shower more than anything and all that. Like, you're seeing...
We started taking out hits on those guys.
hired the Punisher and got him.
Well, this is Chicago, you know.
Oh yeah. Exactly. Uh huh. What happens in Chicago stays in Chicago, right?
That's the Chicago way.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Yeah, but I mean, in general, I mean, you know, it's great to see so much diversity in the comic book fans these days. That's something that you might not have seen a couple of years ago. Now, David, I know it. I know it's been a while since you've actually been to a full-fledged convention like this. I mean, how does it compare to the previous conventions that you've been to? I mean, obviously those were years ago, but...
Because you're so old, weren't you?
It was hard for David to make it through the aisles
with his walker. It was tough.
I remember back in the day walking uphill twice in the snow.
See Stan Lee.
Yeah, he was a youngin. He still was a newcomer.
And Stan Lee will be at New York Comic Con, which
so the news says, yes.
Exactly, yeah.
I honestly, and I said this before, and it really, really is the truth. The convention was, as much fun as I had there, the convention was pretty much secondary to me. I mean, just hanging out with the people that I was hanging out with, and the reason I went out there, you know, to hang out with Chris and Sal and to see Vince again and Sean and to meet Dave Wagner, and I mean it was just, that's why I went out there, and you know, to wake up every morning, go downstairs and, you know, have me around tens of thousands of people that were there, you know, for the same reason I was, that felt great. But it's hard for me to look back, because all the other cons I've ever been to, I've only gone for one day. This time I was there for the entire weekend. I was there for the entire experience, and it really was unlike anything I've ever experienced, and I really can't wait to do it again.
Well, I certainly hope you get the opportunity to do so. And like
he's coming back.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, maybe even next year, if I have that steady job in time, I'll get my lazy butt out there also. So,
Chris and I were working a lot of the times when we were actually in the convention, and to us, the most fun we were having was when, you know, the show was over and it was all of us sitting around talking, yes, having a drink and enjoying ourselves and cracking each other up. That was by far the most enjoyment of being at the show. I mean, as cool as it is, go there and get your sketches and meet the creators and buy books and all that, to be around other people that, you know, and we had talked about this, to be around guys that I had never met before but felt like I had known my whole lives was pretty cool and a special, you know, just experience to be able to hang out with those guys and talk comics or talk whatever.
Yeah, I mean, whenever we, you know, go to cons in the past, you know, you get to the con in the morning, and whenever the con is shutting down for the day, you get in your car and you drive home or you go to your hotel room, and that's it. And, you know, what Sal and I have, you know, really the last couple of years, you know, the con is great during the day and we really enjoy it, but, you know, I don't know if I'm speaking for him, but, you know, by about 4 or 5 o'clock, you know, I'm looking forward to going back to the hotel bar and meeting up with everyone and having a few beers and talking to creators there. I mean, it's the nightlife after the con is where I really enjoy myself there.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, meeting people, getting to hang out with people is all part of the con experience. And if you got a good group of friends to be around, then that makes everything more enjoyable, period.
And that's probably the other thing, is that there have been the very few times I've been to cons, if I didn't go with at least one friend I knew, if I went by myself, then I'm just alone in a sea of people that are there for the same reason. But, you know, I don't know half these, you know, people that bought their tickets, I don't know them from Adam. Here, I was hanging out with, at least at any given moment, just around me, at least a half a dozen people that I've met online, that I've actually had conversations with, whether it's Matt Somer or Tom for the day and a half he was there. I mean, just, you know, just people that I've met over the past year and a half, I'm there with them now, and that also made a world of difference.
I could certainly imagine. Now, when you were at the con, I mean, what was the best outfit you saw? Because obviously, you know, a lot of people love dressing up in their cosplays, as it were.
The guys in the Around Comics t-shirts.
And they looked smart, too. They were some snazzy dressers.
Yes, that's roundcomics.com.
That's right.
Yes. I was a big fan of the Black Thor.
Black Thor.
Yes.
The beast with the afro was pretty cool.
That was nice.
I like Pikachu. Actually, no, there was also Little Red Riding Hood or Dorothy. Oh, no. The woman who was for the online poker company. That was a nice outfit.
I like the old school television version Robin. Only because
his green
painted underoos were really freaking everybody out.
Dude, he also dyed his sneakers green.
Oh my god.
He was
It was wrong.
And he looked like Burt Ward though. He had the hair and just it was bad.
Norton was talking about and Norton and I think Tony Moore, whatever we were talking to the freaky Robin came up in conversation.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so they're sitting at their table doing sketches and this guy like, you know, steps up and poor Mike, he like looks up and he's staring right at this guy's crotch and it's just like, you know, green dyed whitey tighties. And he's just like, you know, and he's like, you know, I was caught and I was staring and I couldn't stop and it
couldn't
was
look away.
I could look it was horrible and
Which was more awesome, Black Thor or creepy Mexican Superman?
There weren't too many. There was a fat Superman. Actually, there was a pretty wacky Justice League of America with a chunky hot girl, a fat Superman, an emaciated Thor, a really skinny Batman. And
Tom said it was like this one issue of JLA where they got like stuck in like a mirror house or something. It was...
Yes. And then Matt asked what color kryptonite turned Superman fat. I read that. I was dying.
Oh, that's bad.
I think Black Thor was the most impressive, though. I mean, this dude was a monster of a guy.
Oh,
like 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah.
Huge.
And
I mean,
like Dan called him the God of Hunger.
Oh, God. Oh, Dan was so awesome this week.
Dan was fabulous.
What a great guy.
Well, see, Superman's been hitting too many of those donuts laced with kryptonite, so.
There you go.
It was, no, there were some good costumes.
Snake Eyes was there, Black Panther, and Ian Churchill Supergirl because she was, like, she probably weighed 35 pounds.
Oh, nice.
There was a nice, crack horror version of Emma Frost.
Wait. How's that different than the regular Emma Frost?
Smaller boobs.
This one was just skin and bones.
Okay.
Yeah. There was the thinnest Supergirl I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it was she. And then someone pointed out, it's like, no, she's just the Michael Turner
That's
Supergirl.
Right.
I didn't see him, but. Dustin had gotten a picture of a little kid in a Flash costume, which was cute. I thought that was kind of cute.
Oh, there was a little kid dressed as Captain America and one dressed as Iron Man in the Civil War panel.
Nice.
They beating each other up.
I was waiting for that, you know, but no.
I was
waiting for that Iron Man
match.
Sucker punch.
I heard something about a wrestling match between Iron Man and Captain America at the con, or am I hearing this wrong?
Not that I was aware of.
Oh,
I didn't know.
See, that's probably why they brought the IFL ring. They could have had the Civil War right there.
I think that might have been what happened.
The Bendis Borders had their second annual slap fight.
Now, while going across the roster, I'm sure that you probably found a couple of creators that you really didn't know about before. I mean, who were your quote-unquote rising stars of the convention that you discovered and are really glad that you did?
Stan Yan. Mm-hmm. With Subculture.
I got one.
Yeah.
Jason Latour. I'm going to check out anything that cat does from now on. His stuff was amazing. He worked with Clay Moore on a book called Expatriate.
Oh, yeah. His stuff is pretty good.
Yeah, anything that B. Clay Moore writes, I try and pick up. I had not gotten that yet, but Jason's art that I saw at that show was just stunning.
I'll tell you, the guy that blew me away was Ryan Ottlieb. Is it Ottlieb?
Oh, yeah. Who does Invincible.
Does Invincible.
He did a great sketch for Mark.
Yeah, and I was looking at that and going, wow, I don't see that in Invincible. I mean, it's like his...
Well, I guess it proves how varied his artwork can be.
But that sketch was amazing. And I'd like to see more stuff like that from him.
Yeah, Otley's great. Jeremy Hahn, another guy that anyone who, and that's another Claymore book, but if awesome. You haven't read Battle Hymn or Leading Man, check out Jeremy Hahn's stuff. Really nice.
Leading Man's from Oni, right?
That is yes. an Image book.
No, it's Oni.
No, is it Oni?
Yeah.
I thought I saw it next to Wasteland.
No, you're. I've got it. Yeah, I've got it right here. It's Oni. I'm sorry. Okay. You guys are correct.
Joshua Eldridge, he does a manga book nice. Called Mail Order Ninja for Tokyo.
Oh, okay, right.
I like me some manga,
Rising
so I'll have
manga
to check
Stars
that out.
Contest. Real bright kid and talented.
And then, like Matt would point out, OEL.
Oh, yeah, OEL.
And make sure you say the OEL.
Who else? Brian, you know, a guy we've talked about over and over again, but we can never talk too much about him, Brian Defferding.
Yeah.
He does a book called School of Ghost Story. It's...
I got him right here, too.
You know, everybody who's read that book has liked it, and it's a different kind of book. I mean, it's not your typical artwork or even format or story, but it's just good stuff, and Brian's such a good guy and so positive, and you read his work, and you would think he looks more like Johnny Depp in some sort of Tim Burton film, but he's like... The nicest, most upbeat dude that you'll ever run across.
He's the most Wisconsin person I've ever met in my life,
mm-hmm.
and writes this nice. Amazing, like, dark goth horror book.
You'd expect him to be like Rob Zombie, but no, instead he's like you know, Bobby Brady.
Yep, www.deftoons.com is Brian's site.
Who we had on episode 11 of Comic Timing.
But she does Devil's Panties. Yay.
Jenny Breeden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Oh, okay.
Yay.
And as promised, I did pick up Con Artist 1 and 2 from her.
Eric J., who worked on Rex Mundi, the first 12 issues of that, and he is drawing The Phantom for Moonstone now.
Mm-hmm. And he's doing a book for them called Cisco Kid and...
Is it Wyatt Earp and Cisco Kid?
Yeah, it's Wyatt Earp and the Cisco mm-hmm. Kid.
Nice.
All the guys from Ape loved Horrorwood. That book is really good.
Yeah, Brent and I can't think of the other.
Brandon,
yeah, those guys, young, talented. I think you'll hear more from them in the coming years.
Yeah, Ben Licious, who is editor, writer for Black Coat, which Black Coat from Ape Entertainment is a stunning book. This Francesco guy, who wasn't at the con this year, his stuff is amazing. So Black Coat is another book. Of course, you know, Steve Bryant.
That chalk painting, mm-hmm. that chalk art that was on the outside of the convention, that was amazing. That was really, really good. I'd like to see that guy on, you know, other than chalk. I'd like to see him, you know, just like random sketches and all that, because that looked really, really good.
Yeah, we actually did an interview with him. So what episode will that be, Sal?
What are we on, 39? 40, something like that.
39,
it's
I think.
It's all a blur.
Yeah. It is a blur. Yeah, it'll be 39. And his name is Eric, and I'm going to totally space his last name.
Excellent.
But really nice guy.
It's not an easy last name. But
no, it's not an easy last name. But he's an easy guy to talk to, and that's what counts.
There's some other books I haven't had a chance to pick, that I picked up, that I haven't had a chance to read yet. But I look flip through at the show and I'm like, oh,
that sounds
interesting.
Like my life. I've got so many things to read. It's disturbing.
Well, Sal and I were talking about that today. What you said, your to read pile is about as tall as your daughter now, right?
Yeah, it's probably literally about 3.5 feet tall of stuff that I either have to review or just I'm behind on my reading. I still haven't read, like, last week's books, and then all the stuff I got at the con, and then I have, like, a stack of stuff that I need to write reviews on. So, yeah, I'm a little behind. I don't know why I'm on this podcast.
Tell me about it. Probably the coolest booth I went to as far as, like, just a collection of product, and I think Sal will back me up on this. Man, if you ever have the chance to go to a con and check out the small press booths, top shelf. Their booth is amazing. Just the variety of publications they have, and just absolutely amazing stuff.
And they brought plenty to go around. I had no idea what the tablecloth looked like, because there were just books on top of books piled around that booth.
if you've never seen like well printed, you know, graphic novels on like heavy paper, hard bound, you know, I mean, some of their printing is just really
now,
beautiful.
Now, were you guys able to make any of the panels at the convention, or were you running around all over the place so much you didn't get a chance?
Didn't make as many panels as I wanted to, because we were really out on the floor a lot. But, you know, Sal will tell you, I think what one of our favorite was the Brian Wood one.
Brian, we made the Brian Wood panel, and that was, he's such an interesting guy and talented guy, and we heard he announced on that panel that he was going to do a new monthly book with Vertigo called The Northlanders, and it's going to be a Viking book. So that should be interesting to see. That's a little different than what he's done in the past. He'll be around doing stuff for a couple of years at least.
Okay. Now, is that just an exclusive deal with Vertigo, or is that with DC as well?
So. I think it's just with Vertigo for creator-owned work only.
He can't work for Marvel, I think is what it is.
Yeah, it's the same exclusive that everybody gets. He can still do his stuff at AIT or you know, Oni or wherever else he might have something, but his mainstream stuff is going to come from Vertigo.
But I don't think you're going to see him writing any mainstream DC titles anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't think
so. That was asked, wasn't it? Right, yeah.
Yeah, I had asked him about it and to do, and sometimes it's a little...
Because it's not Thundercats.
Yeah, he wants to write Thundercats.
I could totally see that.
No, that was a joke. Is that, you know, Sal asked him that question. It's about writing mainstream work, and he said, "Yeah, people used to, you know, come to me with projects." And well, actually, Sal, you tell the story.
He had commented online a while back that he's steadily put down a bunch of offers to write mainstream work. So I asked him if he could comment on it, and he said, "Yeah, you know, sometimes it's really disheartening when you get offered these jobs, because you look at it as, well, that's what they kind of think of your work." And he gave the story that they had offered him to write Thundercats. He just went, you know, really, that's what you think I'd be good doing, is writing Thundercats? If you've ever read Brian Wood's work, I mean, you couldn't imagine.
Feel the magic, feel the roar.
So. Yeah, supermarket, local, DMZ, and Thundercats. I see it. It works perfect.
Yeah.
I think with him, he's more than content to do what he, you know, he's trying to be more of an artist than necessarily a successful comic book, you know, celebrity or successful comic book creator, quote unquote. You know,
he's a hell of an artist in his own right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely is. But I think he's more concerned with telling his stories than with necessarily, you know, becoming huge. Because, quite honestly, I don't think he's all that comfortable being as famous or, you know, as he is.
Yeah, he's a very, very shy guy, but just whip smart, very, very sharp. The other panel we went to, we made the Brian Wood panel was fairly small, but then we went to the Civil War panel. That was packed. That was huge.
Yeah. Yeah, the winners are the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Did they reveal anything?
Yes and no. They showed some upcoming covers, and I don't think it was anything that they didn't show at San Diego, but you kind of get an idea. You know, Spider-Man is getting ready to get effed up, so that's one thing that you saw from the covers. Don't want to spoil anything, but they're setting Civil War up not to have an ending, is how I'm feeling it, and that's kind of the vibe that you're getting from them, that, you know, what they're setting up is the next generation of Marvel stories, and everything that we're going to be reading out of that company for the next few years is going to be coming directly out of what happens in the next few months, and that is really, really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I was one of these sort of naysayers that thought, okay, you know, they're going to do all this with Civil War, and they're going to unmask, you know, Spider-Man, and they're going to do this or that and the other, but sooner or later, they're just going to hit the reset button, and it'll all go back to where it was before, because that's what they do. But honestly, after talking with some people at Marvel and listening to what they had to say, I you know, think that that's not going to be the case this time. I think, you know, Civil War is going to end messy, and the next, you know, next year is going to be all the ramifications from it and picking up the pieces. So I'm excited about it, quite honestly. I mean, I've enjoyed Civil War quite a bit, and it's, you know, interesting to see Marvel sort of growing up a little bit.
Good.
And evolving as a company.
As long as they keep Daredevil out of that frickin' armor, I'll be happy.
Yeah, it's very exciting if you are a Marvel fan. I don't think Ed's going to do that.
Man. No.
Well, good. That's certainly a good thing. And you know what? Yeah, I'm pretty sure Ed Brubaker wouldn't be doing that.
If he did, I bet you it'd still be cool.
Oh, God. We'll send him an email. Hey, yeah,
if anybody could do it.
So were those the only two that you really got a chance to go to? Or did you hit any other DC panels? Or?
Tom and Matt had made it to the DC panels. And, you know, overall, there wasn't a whole lot to report, quite honestly. I mean, there just weren't that many huge stories or announcements going on. I mean, there were a few here and there. I know that, you know, Peter David, he's doing a new miniseries with Wonder Man, which is pretty interesting. And I know there's the new Ultimate Wolverine origin story coming out. And I'm trying to think of from DC. I know Matt had said that
What about Stephen Colbert?
It looks like he's going to be in the JLA as the Green Lantern in the JLA.
Oh, fabulous.
Yes.
It's got to be better than William Shatner's Tech Wars.
I think the biggest thing out of the DC panel, from what Tom said, is that Keith Giffen like called some guy in the audience a retard.
Did you come here on the short bus?
He did say that. He kind
Keith
of
Giffen is
inferred
my
that the guy may be retarded, but he didn't. All him.
That's it. Yeah, Keith Giffen has just added an extra one to his
awesome. I'm just going by what Tom said. So,
let's see what else was coming out of DC.
You want me to grab the press release? We're giving these guys our news.
That's at Around Comics.
Right, yes, but they'll have to listen to Around Comics to get everybody's comments afterwards.
There you go.
Oh, I thought something that was pretty interesting is Jeff Smith is going to be doing a Captain Marvel miniseries.
All right.
Nice. It's not going to be in continuity, but it's, you know, obviously it's still going to be good.
For people that don't know what the hell is going on with Nightwing these days, there is going to apparently be a miniseries outside of 52 that is going to explain what's going on with that character, as far as the 1 year later version or the Outsiders version. So that is going to be explained and why that is so odd. There's going to be a trade paperback.
That's a trade.
I'm assuming it's a graphic novel.
Emperor Joker was some. I don't remember the specifics. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't that Jeff Loeb and Ed McGuinness?
Yeah.
I thought that was Joker's Last Laugh.
No, Joker's Last Laugh was a different crossover event.
Different crossover. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. Nice.
Rags Morales is going to be doing an upcoming story arc for JSA Classified. Ooh. And there were some hints that we may not have seen the last of Wally West. That's
also, we did get a exclusive report from John Romita Jr. that he's working on possibly a creator-owned book, but I'm not going to give it away. You'll have to listen to you later in the week. That's right.
Yes. Ultimate geek out moment for us, awesome. Or for me anyway, at the con was sitting down for about 15-20 minutes with John Romita Jr. That was freaking wild. He is, what an amazing guy.
But I'm a little upset because how busy was he during the weekend where he couldn't do his hair? I saw those pictures and he's wearing a ball cap. I was like, you know, hey John, come on, man, you got the guns and you're like, every other picture I've seen, he's
come
got
on,
his hair.
Who's
all
the boss?
All nice,
JR Jr.
You know,
the boss.
But no, here, you know, Tony Danza's got to wear a cap. Here, you know, I don't understand why.
Yeah.
Are you guys 100 Bullets fans?
Yes.
From Brian Azzarello. He is apologizing to everyone who has been a longtime fan of the book because of the next story arc. And he said,
I'm going to have to catch up on my trades.
Yeah, people are going to die. So it's necessary.
It's been a while since I've read 100 Bullets.
Mm-hmm. In the same boat as you. I haven't read that in a while either. I got lost with it and just haven't gone back.
Oh, it's good again. What, some of the, I guess the last one I'll throw out here. It's just a last tease, is that Brubaker had already announced Immortal Iron Fist in
Very
the
nice.
Last letters pages
Very
for
nice.
Daredevil.
And you know what? The more
that he'll be writing
the
that with Matt Fraction,
the
and they had some preview pages for that.
Boy. Preview pages of that.
That's what's said in the story you gave me.
Does that, they've been
it's your damn story.
At Wizard World?
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh,
that's
crap.
It. There's a discount.
See, I told you. Sal didn't finish drawing them.
Oh, okay. Man. Proofreading, folks. It's fun.
Read your own press releases.
I got too much to do.
Ah, well. And you got Mark Miller, you got Bendis, and you got Brubaker now, so...
Yeah, I tell you what, don't for
well,
a
actually,
second discount
a friend of mine actually
Paul
called
Jenkins.
Paul Jenkins in the whole situation with Speedball in the Civil War thing that he's been writing, and my friend called him out, and I believe his exact response was next question. The Constitution could be different in the Marvel Universe. Yeah.
Shame you see your friend give him a punch in the face for me.
I don't know if she'll like that. Yeah, exactly. All right, well, you know, I mean, nice. We might as well keep this kind of short here for everybody's sake, as it is getting kind of late. I know that Brian has some editing to do. So before we do that, Chris, you want to give us a quick rundown on what we can expect on upcoming Around Comics?
Oh,
he doesn't know.
He didn't read the press release.
This week we are really excited to talk to two of our absolute favorite creators. We had a double stack interview, so Friday for a Monday release, we're going to be talking to Simon Oliver, the amazing writer of The Exterminators. Woo-hoo. And Sal, have we decided, have we figured out, is this his first interview?
As far as I know, it is. I haven't seen anything. He might have done like a phone or like an email interview on something, but I haven't seen him anywhere else. He's been sort of the mystery man.
Wait, Simon Oliver? That's
yeah, so
right?
If you're not reading Exterminators,
Comic Book Noise was going to have an interview with him,
just,
but Skype was acting up.
Find another hobby.
They ended up doing a sort of a question and answer thing through email,
yep.
like you previously mentioned. So, and
yep.
By the way, yes, listen to Comic Book Noise. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Go Derek Coward. So, yeah, we've got Simon Oliver coming up. We've got Ed Brubaker coming up. Then after that, we're just, you know, we'll probably get back to our regular format of doing just regular topic conversation, going over the news, going over our top of the stack recommendations. Yeah, and just kind of taking it as it comes. We're just having a great time with it. We're going to talk to different creators anytime they want to promote their creator-owned works or whatever, and just continue to... Have a
well,
great
actually,
time.
Even
say, as long as Sal
even
doesn't
after that happens,
shoot me and throw me in the back
course,
of his trunk,
so
we're going to keep doing it.
You got plenty of room in that trunk.
It's a big fucking trunk.
Did you mention we're having Brubaker on?
You know, I think I heard something about that somewhere.
I don't even mean to do it, but sometimes I just tone. And I don't mean this as an insult, Chris, but sometimes I just don't hear what he's saying because.
Well, you guys are married. It's that married hearing.
Yeah.
You guys, you don't understand it. It's like, you know how often you talk to each other doing your podcast. Sal and I work with each other, and I never shut up.
No.
No, I didn't. I just mean it's like in the first. Not to say Chris is long-winded sometimes, but generally I can get the gist of what he's trying to say in the first 10 seconds that he's saying it, so after that I just kind of tune out for the next 35 to 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's scary. Oh, and one last pimp for our show so I can repay the love that my partner on the show just gave me. Please check out AroundComics.com. I tell everyone... I brag about it because I don't work on the site nearly to any extent that Sal does, but he has made a website that is truly one of the finest news and information sites in comic.
See, look at this. They have a fight
site.
They kiss and make up all on the air Comic Timing.
Thank you.
This is.
I love you, honey.
We don't do anything off here. Extent.
Yeah, right. You know, a side note, and that's just you guys, your podcast,
it's all sign language.
Comic Geek Speak and all those others are one of the reasons why I wanted to do a comic-based podcast in the first place. So I want to thank you guys for doing what you're doing. You guys do a great job.
Oh, man, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
Yeah, it's all right.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Yeah. You guys keep doing what you're doing. Comic Timing is a fine comic book podcast.
Actually, get rid of that David guy.
Actually, that Ian guy pisses me off. Anyway, the contest for designing iTunes art is officially over. So sometime in the next week, David and I are going to get together either on Skype or through email and decide on a winner for that. And once we do, we'll announce that on the forums. And once again, the prize to that, once Wally sends it over to me, will be mini X-Men 3 posters and possibly a couple other things that I have lying around my house that I don't need anymore that you guys might enjoy. So I'll send those along also. Also, our first 22 pages, which is Annihilation number 1. Annihilation number 1 has hit the stands. So if you have not picked up Annihilation number 1, please do so, and then post your thoughts about it on our forums. In about 2 weeks or so, we're going to get together and discuss it. So if you want to get your 2 cents in or your 8 cents in, do that over on the Comic Timing forums, which are posted nicely by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. So I want to thank them for that. Don't forget to vote for us on Podcast Alley. The links are in the show notes and also on our website. And don't forget to vote for Around Comics either. Around Comics is very nice, and they deserve your votes as well, so go ahead and vote for them. Our email address is comictiming@gmail.com. Also, if anybody needs a room for Baltimore Comic Con, please send me an email over at comictiming@gmail.com. I'm looking to spread the cost of the room out with a couple other folks. I have a room that's right a couple of spots away on the White Line, so it should be pretty easy to get to. So if anybody wants to split the room, they can certainly do so. Please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. And also, our iTunes listing is the one that says David Price, Ian Levinson, not the one that says Toby Cook, David Price, Ian Levinson. That's our outdated one, which is no longer working properly. So there you go. Our feed is feeds.feedburner.com/comic-timing-podcast. And other than that, David, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. And Chris and Sal, one last time, thank you for joining us, guys.
Anytime,
yay,
man.
No problemo.
Excellent. And as always, there's always time for comics. You know, I just want to basically get the way of the crowd and all that as to, you know, how it went and, why it's so damn good, and so on and so forth.
There were lots of people.
Millions.
Millions and millions of peoples. I'm sure that you guys probably had a better time than the cosplayers over in Baltimore did, because this is the same weekend as Vorticon, you know, the big anime convention. And apparently, the Yankees were in town the same weekend. And nice. The baseball fans were heckling the cosplayers the entire weekend. So it sort of had sort of like a West Side Story thing going on. Two rival gangs.
But one of the sides had like really big eyes.
and
all this sweat bouncing off their heads.
Oh yeah. Better believe it. Alright, cool. So I'll give us a countdown and we'll get into this thing. Alright?
Let me cough one good time here.
There you go. Get all the cough now.
I feel like the big fucking ogre in Princess Bride. Oh, I can breathe.
Oh man. Well, it's important that you breathe.